You're listening to the Table Talk podcast, brought to you by the team at Food Matters. Hello, you beautiful people. Now, welcome to Table Talk. It's a guide to the future of food and nutrition, brought to you by Food Matters. In these podcasts, we chat with visionaries from across the food industry to discover the ideas that will transform our food landscape. I'm Stefan Gates. I'm a food science writer, broadcaster, and I'm an all-round gastronaut. Today, we're going to look at one of the biggest challenges facing humanity that few people ever really think about, safeguarding our soil. Soils are vitally important to us and to our ability to feed ourselves, but they are in big trouble. We're losing them far quicker than we can possibly replace them. And while it's estimated that around 24 billion tons of fertile soil are lost worldwide every year, global strategies to protect biodiversity don't seem to pay soil much attention. However, the UN recently described the degradation of our soil as at least as important as climate change. Now, we had a fascinating episode exploring soil a while ago, so this episode is focused a little more on the importance of education in increasing awareness of the importance of soil. And we've got an absolutely amazing panel. We have Caroline Drummond, CEO of LEAF, Linking Environment and Farming. Hello there, Caroline.
Hello there, Stefan.
We've got Carl Edwards, LEAF's Director of Education and Public Engagement. Hello, Carl.
Hi, Stefan.
And Dr. Felicity Crotty, Senior Lecturer in Soil Science at the Royal Agricultural University. Hello there, Felicity.
Hi, Stefan.
So thanks all for joining us today. First of all, Caroline, let's talk a little bit sort of broadly about soil, first of all. Do you think there's an underappreciation of how poor the state of the world's soils are?
I guess it goes to your audience, really. For farmers, soil is their medium. It's what they play with. It's what they work with every single day. So without a doubt, soil is right on their radar, whether it's kind of too dry, too wet, just right. And so for them, yes. But I think for many of us as citizens, then no, it's not really on the agenda, because I guess we don't kind of deal with it. And often it's the only time we do deal with soil is when it's mud or dirt or we're gardening in it or something like that. And so from that point of view, the realization of how powerful soil is and how important it is, you know, just as you've said in your introduction, is, yes, undervalued and underrecognized.
Okay. And so, Felicity, can you explain what soil degradation is, how widespread it is, and what the impact of that is?
So soil degradation can be any way that's reducing the capacity of the soil to function as a healthy soil. So it could be soil erosion, it could be soil compaction, it could be too many chemicals have been put on, which leads to acidification, or it could be nutrient depletion. Now, the FAO did a study which showed about a third of all soils globally are moderately to highly degraded. So this is a global problem, and it is a large issue for everybody, not just in the UK, but for everyone around the world. And the levels of degradation can be, you know, it can be as simple as when we see the flooding that's happened across Northern Europe recently, all the water is brown. That's likely to be topsoil from farmers' fields that has washed off as part of water erosion and is now, when the water subsides, going to be coating people's personal possessions in their houses. The soil is not where it's supposed to be, which is bad for the farmers and bad for the people in the urban areas as well. So it's a huge problem for everybody.
And in terms of fixing soil, is that an uphill struggle? I mean, can't you just chuck some fertilizer on and Bob's your uncle, your soil's better again?
That is the main problem with soil, is it's very, very, very easily to degrade it, very quick. You know, one pass of a heavy piece of machinery at the wrong time could compact the soil, but to alleviate that compaction can take a lot of effort, can take a lot of work, thinking about resting the soil, planting different crops, so some which have different rooting structures so they can try to break the compaction apart naturally. If you're a livestock farmer, not putting your, you know, the livestock on the fields. So all of these things take time, which there's never a quick fix, which can be quite a problem. That's the thing that leads to more degradation. People want to fix it, but they haven't got the physical time available to them.
Gotcha. Okay. So, Carl, let's come to you because this episode is really much, very much about education, and you're the Director of Education and Public Engagement. Who is it, first of all, that we need to educate? Is it farmers? Because, as Caroline said, you know, it's their daily stuff of life, but then she lives on a farm, so she would say that. Or is it the civvies like you and me, the consumers who need to pay a bit more attention and help people pay more attention to soil?
I think the reality is soil for the majority of society really is out of sight, out of mind. As Caroline said, our farmers are acutely aware of the importance of soil in as part of their system, as part of a healthy system for them. In terms of wider society, it's interesting. So as part of our education work, we work with tens of thousands of children every year. We get them out on farm, we get them out into the wider natural environment, and we really look at our soil. And we look and talk about the importance of soil. And likewise, every year through Open Farm Sunday, we get around 250,000 members of the public in the UK on farm. And it's fascinating to see the public's face when they start to understand that little bit more about this brown stuff under their feet and actually what it means for them, what it means for them in terms of good, high quality, sustainable food. And so it's wonderful. We've seen on a number of our events, farmers really go that extra mile to dig huge pits where the public can step down into a field and look side on to soil. It's very rare that actually people get to look side on and look at root structure in plants and understand the importance of that, and to understand the importance of the humble earthworm as well, and how that actually adds to the soil and to our crop health, etc. So the question really is, should the public be aware? Do they need to be aware of the importance? Because if the tools that we need to give are to our farmers and those that are engaging and working with and using soil, then I don't know if the public and the young people maybe that we work directly need to have an intimate understanding of soil and its works. I think there just needs to be an appreciation and understanding of what others are doing to care for soil. Back in 2018, we ran a piece of teenager research, and we asked 12 to 19-year-olds across the UK, one, were they interested in farming and food production and different aspects of it? And it was really interesting. Around 40% of young people came back and said, oh, actually, yes, soil is really, really important. We'd like to know more about it. And we were blown away because 2/3 of young people said, we'd love to know more about food production and about farming, but only about 4% had ever had any information really in a school setting about that. And so it was really good to see this disparity to go, 2/3 of young people surveyed said, love to know more, 4% didn't know, but around 40% were saying, yeah, we really understand that soil is important, as well as the science and technology behind that. So there is that interest there, and we're trying to provide that opportunity to provide them with a chance to engage, to understand, to better learn, and then maybe to even see future opportunities to be the future Felicity, for example. You know, there's all these things for these young people to have that engagement piece.
I want to get down in that pit myself. Sounds exciting down there. It's really good. When we think about soil, I mean, Caroline, for you, you're living on a farm. I'll keep mentioning this throughout the episode. but soil is more than just the dirt that we think of. It's actually a combination of concepts as well. I mean, there's all sorts of microbes. There's fungi. There's bacteria. There's worms. You know, Darwin thought that worms were one of the most important parts of evolution that have helped humankind be able to farm the earth. It's a broad spectrum of things rather than just one substance, isn't it?
Oh, without a doubt. So if you think about, you know, our gut and our stomach for us as human beings, and how increasingly people are realizing that if you can get the right sort of mix of gut bacteria and gut flora in our stomachs right, then it improves our health and it improves our mental health. It's the same reflection really for a plant. Soil is like their outside stomach really, because it is exactly as you say, it's alive. And
I love that idea, their outside stomach. That's a brilliant explanation.
And that's, you know, so plants are so cool. I think, you know, maybe I'm just a bit geeky, but, you know, I think plants are really intelligent. If you look at just how they move, my favourite plant's a mimosa, and you can touch it and it moves. And the fact that a plant and its rooting system, which is obviously probably about sort of a half to three quarters of a plant's real strength is under the ground. And from that point of view, it is taking nutrients, it's taking water, it's giving back nutrients, it's feeding in, it's dying, it's decaying. That whole level of activity, exactly as you have described, is so critical. And, you know, that little fact is that in a teaspoon of soil, of good, healthy soil, there are as many bacteria and little nutrients and everything like that as there are people on the earth ever. And so from that point of view, you know, you kind of think, whoa, soil is really, I mean, it's almost creepy. It's so alive. And from that point of view, it's very valuable. And I think that's where, you know, you asked earlier about, you know, can we fix it? And I think, yes, you know, we can fix it by creating the right bacteria, by creating the right environment, bringing in organic matter status, creating that opportunity of earthworms to really sort of be in the right position. You know, earthworms are something what, like 1.4 million earthworms in a healthy soil per hectare. Mm. And, you know, for many of our farmers, they'll say, well, you know, I'm a one-man band here, but actually I've got a load of unpaid workers for me right underneath the ground here. And these are the guys, or girls or whatever, but they are hermaphrodites. So, but, you know, sorry, just girls, that are keeping my soil alive. And I think the more knowledge we have on what is a really, really complex pace, because, you know, we haven't even begun really to truly understand the interaction between plants and soil, the rhizosphere around that, the activity, the interactions of bacteria, that, you know, as Felicity was saying, those sudden flooding events, you know, you've got some poor little worm or bacteria thinking, oh, goodness, I'm choked, you know, and how do they respond and who responds first and how does that impact that balance? So, yeah, really important. Soil is so, so, so critical.
Hmm. I love the fact that you're the first person ever on this podcast to anthropomorphize a worm. Now, Felicity, you teach at the Royal Agricultural University and you teach soil science. And I wonder, now Caroline's given some fantastic factoids, and factoids are great. And I know that soil science is complex and fascinating, that there are great depths to it. But what are the factoids? What are the little bits that your students are most surprised about with soil science? What are the bits that they didn't expect to discover?
Well, part of it, when the, you know, historically soil science was always taught as sort of the physics, the chemistry, the geology. There's not a lot, historically, there wasn't a lot of talk about the life, which Caroline was just talking about. And actually, my original background is soil biology. So thinking about the soil food web, what eats what within the soil, and just how much life is actually in the soil. We talk about there being billions of bacteria, but actually, like, in a hectare of soil, you've got about a ton of bacteria. So that's the equivalent of a cow living underground of bacteria.
Mm. Oh, that's good as well. I like that. Extra points for that.
And in fact, there's, as Caroline said, there's a greater weight of earthworms living below ground than you would have livestock grazing above ground. So if you think of it, there's like the equivalent of between 25 and 50 sheep's worth of earthworms there underground. And so stocking densities are, you know, 16, 20 above ground. So this is a huge amount of biomass. And just all the different interactions. So you've got earthworms that live near the surface. You've got the really, really big earthworms that are, the record breaker for the UK is about 42 centimetres, so like mini snakes living underground. And the fact that they can live, you know, up to 10 years. So you're not talking about short periods of time these organisms are living within the soil. They're all there interacting, and they can move. So if you've got some sort of, you know, if you're growing something that they really like, for example, these earthworms can travel across fields and go to that area. If the soil has been compacted or degraded, they might choose to move away. So you are, you know, you're encouraging this habitat for soil life that I think the students didn't quite get when they first started. But I'm not just teaching agriculture students, actually. So we have got that breadth. The soil science modules are actually taught to the environmental students, the conservation management students as well. So it is getting that grasp that it's it's very important that farmers know about the soil, but actually all practitioners that work in the environment, it's very important that they get that understanding as well.
Okay, Carl, so we've got some fantastic and fascinating elements here, but you're an expert in education and public engagement. How do we get this out there? Should soil be on the national curriculum? Is it already and we don't really know about it? Or are we just throwing more and more at teachers to solve problems when, frankly, we ought to do it ourselves?
Really good questions there, Stefan. So it is on the national curriculum and it's covered in both science and geography at the moment. So looking at soil. But I think adding to teachers' workload is never going to go down well. And I am an ex-teacher and I've got a team of 9 regional education consultants that work across England and Wales. So I think they'll all be listening in and shouting, no, don't add more to our workload. So what we try and do and how we work with teachers and trainee teachers is actually show you can deliver so many other subjects through the medium of soil, and actually there's the opportunity for experiential learning using soil, using food production per se, as the vehicle to do that. So it never has to fall into this really niche little area of soil. It actually has that wider biology, environmental science, geography. You know, there's all these other opportunities to really bring soil into that space. And so that's where we come in, and we try and argue and look at soil also as almost a non-renewable resource as well. The fact that, you know, it takes 10,000 years to produce around 30 to 40 centimeters of good soil. So actually in our lifetime, we're never going to see that renewal of soil. And so there's all these then other opportunities to bring that in. And we're really keen that young people have the opportunity to engage. And I think it's Caroline that often says, you do not know what you cannot see. And actually we're trying to encourage people to be able to see it and to be able to experience it. And I think that really is our opportunity. And the other opportunity, of course, is that actually it's not got to be taught within school, and it's not just school groups and young people that we work with, but it is that wider public. And there is that genuine interest. And myself as an ex-geography teacher, I always used to love parents' evening for the funny point of you'd often get parents go, you know what, I really didn't appreciate geography when I was a student, but now I really do. And I see the impact that it has on the world around us. And I'm mature enough to have an understanding and an appreciation of the world around us. So when we get young families out on Open Farm Sunday, or when we're visiting our demonstration farms and we're showing the best practice around sustainable agriculture, that's when you see the wider understanding go, oh, actually, I just hadn't appreciated any of this. And I'm now interested. I want to know more. And there's lots of opportunities to signpost them to other organisations that are doing great work in this space. So I think that's our place to say, look, we're here, we're a voice. If you're interested, do find out more. If we can work directly with schools, we offer them that experience. Again, I go back to our research, which was really interesting. From those 12 to 19-year-olds, we kind of fitted into 2 categories when they were in school. And we felt that the teachers also fitted into these categories. If we're talking to 12 to 15-year-olds, so year 7, year 8, year 9, great. Give us that experience. We want to learn from professionals. We don't want to see a celebrity. We're not bothered by a celebrity. We want to learn from the scientists, from those professionals, or from other young people like ourselves, peer-to-peer learning, and we will learn from them. And so they're all up for the experience. They will get dirty. They will have that opportunity to really see it, touch it, feel it. When you get above that age, 16, 17, 18, 19-year-olds, they'll often turn around to us and say, okay, interested, but how does it help us at this point in our life, pass our GCSEs, pass our A-levels, or help us to consider the opportunities for next steps in terms of university maybe, apprenticeships, or career further down the line? So I think we've got to appreciate that those young people have got a lot going on in that time. So if we can help them to understand why it's important to be aware and what that means for them, so much the better.
Okay, now, Caroline, it's easy to romanticise the soil story, and we've had some fantastically eloquent farmers coming on and talking about regenerative agriculture and how important it is to them. I just wonder, and as I've mentioned before, you're a farmer, you're living on a farm, are the people who love it and care about it the exception to the rule? Is soil health actually taken seriously enough by farmers across the board, as well as the food industry?
Without a doubt, yes. So I've been working for LEAF. I've been running LEAF for 30 years now. Prior to that, I was an agronomy lecturer. So I was I lectured in crops, including soils and cultivations. I'm a forklift truck driver instructor. And so
I love that. I'm coming down to Cornwall once the COVID restrictions go up.
CITB approved. So back sort of what was now 33 years ago, it was very much more about heavy metal. And so it was kind of like plow, press, drill. And so you had a lot of machinery and it was kind of putting tires and all the rest of it. It has, without a doubt, there been a huge transformation, over the last 30 years, but it's now accelerating big time. And of course, there's a big change in here. One, here in England now, our new government schemes for agriculture are going to be, they're just looking at soils as a real headliner. The noise and the fact that we have had these extreme weather conditions and situations, not as serious as you know, poor Germany has recently had, but these extreme weather instances really make farmers sit up and, you know, and think. They don't want their soil going on the road. It's theirs. It's their value. It's what the crops love. So from that point of view, it is for them really important. And for the retailers, and it's interesting, you know, I've worked with the retailers for 30 years now. And back 30 years ago, they sort of like didn't really know much about farming. And they were sort of, tell us your farming stories. Now, you know, fast track to 2021, and the retailer-farmer relationship is hugely different. And in fact, the farmer groups, the sort of specialist supplies, etc., are very important. And we run LeafMark, a farm assurance scheme for environmental sustainability. But what is very clear, the outcomes of what regenerative agriculture and good soil performance and soil health are exactly not only what the retailers want, but actually is starting to feed into some of the stories. And you said that soil is sexy, you know, that kind of get down and dirty type stuff. But in reality, it's not seen by the majority as very interesting. A bee, you know, now give me a bee sort of thing. And that's the pollinators, lovely. Mm. But it's quite a hard sell in terms of the soil story. So where we can kind of sell it is how it affects individuals. So for most consumers, it's like, I've been flooded, or, you know, there's a drought and I'm not allowed to use my hose pipe or something like that. But actually, the more that we can engage, as Carl said, you know, farming touches all five senses. And the more we can engage people with understanding, then there's more appreciation, then there's more knowledge, and then there's more love. That's what sort of builds those component parts of really driving the change, so that people do think, whoa, you know, look at all, well, yeah, let's visualize what goes on underneath our feet all the time. Mm.
Now, you've all mentioned very positive, exciting stories about how fascinating soil is. I'm also just wondering, though, Felicity, that the climate change issue has thrived on negative stories, on scare stories. God knows, I don't want more scare stories around, but do we need a kick up the ass to think about soil? Or, you know, are some of the scare stories going to work better?
I do think that even soil has had the scare stories, you know, the 100 harvests left sort of scenario and that sort of thing. It does bring to the fore, and everyone does, like, you know, everyone loves a disaster movie. So that whole like aspect of people's psyche, it makes it more memorable. What I always try to teach with the students is actually soil is the answer to everything. Soil can be the answer to climate change. Good soil management is the answer to flood prevention. If you change the narrative so that actually when we think about all of these issues, that we promote soil as the answer to them, that'll start improving its popularity amongst the greater public and in policy as well. So thinking about how, if you increase organic matter in the soils, you know, you've got this carbon store that could help in the, you know, mitigate some of the climate change problems. If you've got good soil management, that is, you know, if you keep your soil covered over the winter, so there's crops growing, or cover crops or a grass lay, that means that there's less chance that soil is going to get washed off and flooded into people's houses. All of that, promoting how soil can help, is the answer, I think.
Okay. Now, Carl, does it frustrate you that the stories about farming, the ones that really hit the papers are the sort of the whizzy ones, the technology, the lab-grown meat, vertical farming, you know, that they're good PR for people and they've been worked very well. Does it frustrate you that that gets headlines and the soil story is hard to place?
I think, yes, in reality, the issue is that actually, although we're talking about vertical farming, for example, lab-grown meat, it gets the headlines maybe amongst part society, but actually young people are still interested to know the truth behind it, and they almost disregard those headline pieces. They'll have those conversations with us, but they are so thirsty for the reality, the truth, the knowledge. I remember once we were out on farm with a huge group of young people, with a group of teenagers, and they said, just don't lie to us and don't hide anything from us. We'll know straight away if you do. And that's the reality. And as teachers, we would never lie to young people. We always give them the truth. And we say, we will give you the facts for you to make the decision for yourself. So I think we do have an image problem in any case, in that we're not very good at talking outside of our industry and really banging the drum for what we're doing. And we run a national competition every year with 14 to 16 year olds where they win a place at a land-based college in North Wales called Clyswasey. And it's all about impact. So we take around 15 to 21 students each year and we show them soil, we look at drone technology, we look at the dairy industry, we look at agroforestry, a whole variety of things. And really what we're trying to do there is say, look, there's this sector here that you don't probably know anything about. And we're trying to open your eyes to what we do. I remember we ran it in the first year, 15 young people came down, no links, very little links to food production, land-based colleges, universities, and five of them then went off to apply to land-based college the following year. The following year we ran it, 21 students, seven went off. So it's all these little meaningful conversations that we can have with people on a face-to-face personal level that has the true impact and the meaningful impact with those people. And I remember once on this competition, we had high stability students, that's who we were trying to work with from schools. And I remember the school in the East Midlands, their students still thought we were milking cows by hand. So that was completely blown away to them that we were using any type of technology. The fact that we got them into a tractor cab and they didn't touch anything, it was all planned in for them using GPS. Wow, you know, did you know that cars do this? And you say, yeah, we know cars do this. Did you know that tractors have been doing this for years and years and years before, you know? And then we were looking at soil and we were looking at soil compaction. And we haven't really realized this. We've seen tire treads, you know, and tracks throughout fields before, but we haven't thought of it as compaction. And then looking at how technology can help with soil compaction. And that's really where you just see the young people's eyes go, oh, we haven't realised all of this is important in our food production system. And actually, oh, you as an industry are already aware of this and doing something about it. So It is annoying, those soundbite headlines that go out there. But I think young people are very aware of that and very open to understand the reality behind it. And that's where all of us on this call are really trying to do that, is to open their eyes for this and have that meaningful and impactful conversation with them.
I think, do you know what, you're all making it really exciting. And what's fascinating is also that this is possibly one of the hardest jobs to be an education and public engagement officer in, because it's dirt. So maybe that's one of the reasons why you're so innovative with it. Okay, one last question for all of you, starting with Caroline. If there's one thing you wanted to tell people about soil to make them fascinated, to make them, I mean, you're pretty good on the factoids already, but that is your job, I guess. What's the one thing that you would use as the little kind of mind bomb?
Oh, golly. Well, I think the biggest one is, of course, just how alive soil is. And for me, that's something that people really don't consider it, that, you know, they just see it as inert, it's just dirt. And, you know, you put in a bit of snow and it's snoil or whatever, or snert or whatever you're going to call it. And so the fact that it is alive and teeming with activity, I think, is something that helps people respect where they are. And it's almost thinking, oh, my goodness, I'm standing all over somebody's home. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, for me, it's getting people to appreciate just how critical soil is.
Yeah, and how alive it is. Yeah. Mm. And Felicity, what about you? What's the super factoid that you've got lurking, you know, got your, hiding up your sleeve?
I suppose one thing we haven't touched on is that it's also soil worldwide, but also in the UK is really different. So in the UK, we have, I think it's about 700 different types of soil. So the chemical makeup, the clay, the silt sand components all mixed together, the mineralogy underneath, all leads to it being slightly different across the country. And so in the Cotswolds, we have something called Cotswold brash, which is quite a thin soil with quite a lot of limestone. In where I used to live in Leicestershire, we had a heavy clay. And farmers know this, but the rest of the country doesn't, so to speak. So we have just this huge diversity of life, but also diversity of soils itself. And that's actually why we have this diversity of life. If you think about the difference between an urban area and a rainforest, you know, there's a huge difference in diversity of life within those two places. And the same is true for the soil. You've got this diversity of habitat leading to this diversity of life as well.
Excellent. Okay, and Carl, fire away with your fact bomb.
I suppose more for me, it's the fact that we've got more carbon in our soil than we have actually in our atmosphere, in our plants and in our forests combined. And when you're having those conversations around climate change and the climate crisis, it very much seems to descend into rainforests and the importance of this green space. Well, actually, the brown stuff under our feet is just as important, if not more important. And so if you just think about that, then actually it changes the whole conversation around climate change and climate crisis and the importance. And it really puts soil at the number one spot, really, for us all.
Yeah, fantastic. Okay, well, I'm looking forward to finding out how it begins to creep into the national curriculum a little bit more. And let's revisit this before too long. Caroline Drummond, Carl Edwards and Dr. Felicity Crotty, thank you so much for talking to me today. You've been listening to the Tabletop Podcast brought to you by Food Matters. And if you enjoyed this episode, you might like one of our other podcasts in which we explore pretty much every aspect of the food industry. Follow us to get every episode freshly delivered to you on Apple, Spotify, Google or your preferred podcasting platform. And to find out more, take a look at foodmatters.co.uk. Thank you so much for listening.